Disclaimer, the views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to AnCast. My guest this week to join us for a panel on sexism in anime and anime fandom. So this should be a doozy. We've got video game journalist at G4 and at AX Live, which is Anime Expo's live show, which I believe airs on Thursday evenings. It's Courtney Kraft. Courtney, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
And we've also got online community reporter and a blogger journalist for the dailydot.com. It's Lauren Orsini. Lauren, thanks for coming on.
Good to be here.
Did I pronounce your last name right?
Yeah.
Great.
You certainly did.
That's good. And Bamboo's here too. How's it going,
Bamboo? Hi, everyone. Good to be here.
We couldn't not have you on this one. Because I know you have strong feelings on this subject.
It's true. What? I'm opinionated.
Yeah. Well, so before we get into fandom, I think it's important to talk about the content itself. And I think what I kind of want to talk a little bit about right out of the gate is that I think it's fair. And tell me if I'm wrong on this. I think anime fandom and anime as a whole, as you know, one of the dorkly pursuits, sort of nerd hobbies like comic books and video games and movies and all that stuff, has a larger percentage of females in the fandom. It has a larger female fan base than a lot of those other places. I think that's important to point out, and that's certainly my read on it, and has been almost since I started as an anime fan. You know, in the late 90s, there were always girls around, certainly more girls than there were at, you know, the Warhammer Club or the comic book club or whatever. That's always been my experience. And I guess, Bamboo, do you feel that way? Is that what you've noticed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say it's at least 50-50 or pretty near close, especially in, like, you know, manga, too. I mean, there's definitely a lot more female manga readers than, like, you know, Western comic book readers.
I think that's true. Lauren, what about you?
Oh, completely. Now, if we were going to use... I'm a volunteer at Anime USA, which is a small convention in the Washington, D.C. area. I mean, we just did our demographics. We're now almost 60% female when we were 50% female just a little while back.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely the impression that I get at a lot of the conventions I go to as well, that if it's not at least half and half, the majority is creeping towards a majority female population. Courtney, have you noticed that?
Absolutely. There's definitely much more balance in the anime fandom between males and females than there is in, say, the video game industry or in comic books, when I notice there are a lot more guys. And it's very interesting seeing the attitudes of males towards females and females towards males in both of these industries. And I think that's something we're going to be touching on later.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I know that's where the meat on the bone is on this one. But the content itself is very important to look at closely, because the same charges get leveled at anime as get leveled at everything else, with the notable exception that more anime is definitely geared towards a female audience than, say, Western comic books or video games or anything like that. But that charge is definitely still there, and there is some really egregiously sexist anime that's really, really popular, and I don't think you can deny that. And I kind of wanted to start with an example. I sort of wanted an example from everybody of, is there one title that really sticks out in your mind is like, here is a microcosm of like the gender issues that anime deals with, like the gender issues that they have? And Bamboo, would you want to start on that one?
I mean, obviously you have your fan service titles, but those, I almost feel like those aren't as egregious. But they're actually, you know what? So it's okay. There's a lot of those kind of shonen romance series that are based off, like, you know, visual novels and whatnot. And those tend to be a lot worse, because what you have then, for example, the show Shuffle, you have a female character who she spends 2 weeks learning how to make scrambled eggs or an omelet or something so that she can, like, feed it to her, you know, the object of her desire. first of all, it doesn't take 2 weeks to learn how to make a fucking omelet. Secondly, though, like, the fact that she's doing this just so she can impress him by cooking for him. I mean, you know, it's kind of sad, but that's really prevalent throughout anime. You know, you always have all these girls who are just tripping over themselves, cleaning for this guy, like, feeding him, bringing him lunch. It's just, it's a little ridiculous.
Lauren, do you have a, is there something that really sticks out in your mind? Is like, you saw this and you're like, wow, this is sort of crystallizes it for me. Like, this is where
we're seeing. Yeah, actually, lately I've been writing on my personal blog about Bakuman 2. I never expected that anime of all anime that I was watching to be incredibly sexist. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. When I was watching the first season, I always thought it always just made me feel lazy. It was all about like working towards this goal. But the more you're in it, I mean, the more it becomes, the goal isn't really to get this manga serialization. It's to get this woman, and she's perfectly happy being the prize. It's like Bamboo said about it being this very single-minded, it's a very single-minded pursuit where the woman is the object, and she's fine being the object. And she also has only one goal, and that's to get the guy to like her back.
Yeah, that's I this is a theme revealing itself here. Courtney, any examples come to mind?
Two examples come to mind right away. The first one is Chobits. I've heard so many wonderful things about it, and I started reading the manga, and I couldn't get past the first chapter.
Okay.
Because I was really kind of disgusted with how misogynistic it was, that here are these female robots being literally just objects. Literally objects. And then the main character tells his Chobit that she has to lose weight and she's the skinniest thing. And I couldn't get past that first chapter. I know I should give it a real chance. The other title that came to mind right away was High School of the Dead, which in my mind is a really great series with so much unnecessary fan service. And whenever I see panty shots or disproportionately large boobs, I wonder, what is this series lacking that they have to make up for it with these gratuitous sexualization of women? But High School of the Dead was good on its own. It didn't need all that stuff. So, a little disappointed, but at the same time, I understand people want fan service, but come on.
See, I'm okay with fan service. Like, I'm okay with, like, absurd, just boobs flying everywhere, just, you know, gyrating breasts. It's fine. Like, to me, like, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. But that, to me, isn't as offensive as, you know, even just, like, cute, fully clothed women just, you know, pretty much fighting with each other on who can make some guy breakfast. Like, that, to me, I think is a lot worse than if some woman has breasts the size of, like, a beach ball.
I mean, I almost feel bad sometimes when I feel offended by fan service, because as Bamboo said, it is there to be outrageous. I mean, it's also there to entertain, but sometimes when you see it, when you see a particularly vivid panty shot, you realize, oh, I'm not supposed to be watching this. I'm not the audience for this anime. And they're reminding me that.
See, I think there's some shows that like, okay, so there is a place for fan service. I think like, okay, I love the show Spartacus on Stars. It's like the greatest show ever, but also, I mean, it's terrible. Like, it's one of those shows that you can't help but watch, but there's something for everyone. Like, there's just boobs everywhere, but there's also penis, and there's also, like, gore, and it's just, it is rampant fan service, but I think it's one of those shows that I think has something for everyone. I don't know. I mean, if...
I like that's equal opportunity.
That's a good point, and I think fan service is one thing. That's one thing, and it is undeniably, you know, a sexist thing to include in your thing where your female characters can't be on screen unless they're mashing their taint on the camera or whatever. You know, that exists. And yeah, it can get to offensive levels and everything like that. But fan service is really not that different from like a pinup or anything like that. Anything you'd see in, you know, in American culture, anything like that. That's fine. The really sexist thing is in like High School of the Dead. Courtney, you mentioned this. That doesn't really get sexist until, like, the end, and I don't know if you've seen the whole show, but they build up this one, the one lead female with the purple hair. I can't remember her name, but...
Seiko?
Yes. They build her up as this badass, independent warrior girl who doesn't need anybody, who's kind of falling for the lead character. And towards the end of the show, there's a scene where she basically... admits all of her personal failings and has kind of a nervous breakdown, loses her badass independent streak, and is just about to, like, run out the door. And the main guy runs up behind her, literally grabs her tits, and then gives her this, like, emotional, like, pep talk, teaching her, like, you have to be strong, and all, stripping the character of all of its independence, taking everything away from her that made her powerful, giving it to the male character, and then the male character has to re-imbue her with that while feeling her up. That's sexist. Like, that's really sexist. Yeah. And that's the kind of shit that really gets to me. And Bamboo, you brought this up with Shuffle. I think the Moe Harem is the ultimate example of sexism, where you have a bunch of non-characters. They're not characters. They're archetypes with, what otaku find desirable personality traits for women that they would fantasize about marrying. They just sort of stick a thumbtack on each of them, saying, this one's shy, this one's acts like she's four, this one, whatever. That, to me,
this one is four.
Yeah, denying them actual characteristics and just putting them out there as like, hey, you don't like real women because you're scared of them or whatever. Here's a, you know, more desirable replacement in this cartoon form. That, to me, that's where the real sexism is in anime, and it's rampant, I think.
Agreed.
I think it's easier to point to the fan service. It's like, yeah, this is grotesque, but man, the female characters in anime, especially aimed at the otaku market, are much more sexist than anything else you see, I think.
But is there a desire from the anime market to have characters who are submissive and archetypical?
Absolutely. Otherwise, they wouldn't sell. I don't think they'd sell all those hug pillows if that weren't the case. I mean, that's why that merchandise moves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
But you know what, though? I mean, I do want to point out something else, another realm of, I guess, sexism in anime. And I don't want to open like a can of worms here, but the whole, even the whole yaoi genre, the way that some of those titles are approached, the way that they're sold for, I guess, rabid fangirls, I find that to be a little bit offensive also. Yeah. In that you essentially have shows in which you have two guys who basically they also get turned into these bizarre like objects of lust also by girls. I mean, so it's not just sexism one way. You know, I mean, I think it's important to realize that there is, I guess, different aspects of fandom in which you do see like kind of just awful, disgusting archetypes, or, you know, archetypes for the purpose of being marketed towards a certain group.
Bamboo, I think you're getting into the rabid fangirl, perhaps, that these are marketed towards a certain archetype of a woman who says squee a lot.
True, but aren't a lot of these moe harem shows also marketed towards a certain group of fanboy?
Yeah. And not a very desirable person either.
Mouth breathe a lot? I mean, I don't know.
Well, leering objectification is disgusting to your average rational person regardless. That's a good point that, you know, it's not like the yaoi stuff is a bed of roses of progressive beliefs and harmony for all. It's leering objectification and pandering just like your average fan service title. It's not really any different. I mean, the content's different, but it's doing the same thing, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
So, so there's a glut of this, and pandering's pandering, and I get that. They've got to sell books. But like I said, I think the real sexist thing is that, you know, powerful females in anime are still really rare, even though it gets touted a lot as having a lot of really powerful female characters. And, you know, this is something that's been really muddied and diluted over the years, because for a long time, people would point to Miyazaki movies as like, oh, they have female heroines and the heroines are really strong and self-motivated and independent and all this other stuff. And that's certainly true of those films. But a lot of anime pretends to have powerful female characters and completely undermines those characters totally. What I really wanted to do is get some examples of, can you think of something where not a Miyazaki movie and not like, you know, Revolutionary Girl Lieutenant or something, that has a really strong female heroine in it that is not undermined by the story. And I'm curious if anything immediately comes to mind.
Oh, well, yeah, I got one.
Go ahead.
Oddly enough, it's different in the two different versions. But Integra Helsing from Helsing, you look at the manga and the new OVAs of it, she's very strong and independent. She's leading everyone. She's completely fearless. She's willing to go into a gunfight. However, in the original anime that came out, that where it branched off and it wasn't based on the manga, around episode 8 or so, Gonzo, I think, took a different spin with the series and just kind of took away that power from her and made her a victim, where she sat tied to a floor for a full episode and had to be rescued. And that in itself was kind of disappointing, because to me, Integra Helsing is one of the strongest women that I admire as an anime character.
Well, so my, latest obsession that everyone's tired of hearing about, Chihaya Furu, the heroine, she's great. She's a great Karuta player. She's a strong leader, but they don't really make a fuss about the fact that she's a girl, other than the fact that they're like, oh yeah, she's really pretty, but she is not herself aware of it. Like, some people say like, oh, she's so pretty, and then she would be like, yeah, whatever. Like, she plays against, male players all the time, but like, at no point do they ever make a big fuss about it. And that's what I like. The fact that she is a great leader, she's a great Karuta player, and that's what they respect her for. Nobody's ever like, oh man, she's really great for a hot girl. Like, they don't make that.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't have to say that. And I think that's really great. Whenever I think of powerful, strong women, it's the heroines that at no point do people say, oh, she has breasts. Like, you don't need to mention that. Of course she has breasts,
It's not about her being
Exactly. And, and I like, sometimes I feel like people go too gung-ho about, like, oh, man, look how powerful this woman is, Iki Tosen, for example, or Tenjo Tenge, in which you have these women who are like, man, I'm so fucking powerful, and I have a vagina. Look at my tits, rah! And that, I feel like, goes the opposite way, like, way extreme, like Amazon warrior.
I think that might be why tsundere characters are so popular. I think that does really well in anime, where you have a woman who people think is really tough and doesn't care about anything, but of course she has this weak side and only a man can reveal it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's the fake empowered female. That's the fake one. That's the I'm super powerful, but look at me when I'm vulnerable. And, it's again, that is a male power fantasy. That is exactly what that is.
At the same time, that weakness, that vulnerability is what makes those characters more human and more likable. And hopefully there are characters who can, discover that and cope with their vulnerability on their own and don't always need the man to bring it out. But I never really thought of it that way, that vulnerability that makes them human is a power play for males. I never actually thought of that.
I think it depends on how it's framed. You're absolutely right that vulnerability is an important thing in any sort of character to make them identifiable. But when that vulnerability is almost exclusively sexual, absolutely, I think that is part of the whole male power fantasy thing that goes on with these things. You have, oh, she's a super strong warrior, but oh no, she's been captured and tied up, and now you've got to save her, but she's strong. She could get out of this on her own, but she needs you. It's like, that is totally what that is. That's fake empowered woman. And it doesn't exist everywhere. And again, you're right about the whole vulnerability thing being important, but when it's sexually vulnerable, I think that's when it tips over into, oh, this is just part of the rest of this, really sexist material that we see coming out.
I
don't know. At the same time, anime and definitely manga offer more, I think, to a female readership and viewer base than a lot of other forms of media. Obviously, that's proven by, the amount of female fans that are around. But even then, in like shoujo comics, and I don't know that we have a manga expert on the panel here, but there's a lot of tremendously sexist material in manga, in shoujo manga as well. It's not necessarily free of that. And that is something I'm very curious about. If anybody...
Are there any particular titles that come to mind?
Yes. I'm assuming some of you are familiar with Hanayori Dango.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the ending on that undermines everything the show tried to do from the very beginning. It literally starts out as a story of Spunky Girl from the wrong side of the tracks, you know, holding her own against these rich guys. And then she basically becomes submissive to one of them and gets married at the end. And that's seen as like this great romance, this great story. And it totally undermines this previously strong character. And you actually see that a bit in shoujo manga. It's not rare, I don't think.
No, yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think of other examples, but like there's...
Well, there's a trend in shoujo manga right now where the constant threat of rape is seen as this romantic, dangerously romantic thing. This is actually really common. Like, Viz is publishing this stuff where the constant right. threat of sexual assault is seen as like this romantic thing. I mean, that's I would assume that would be kind of terrifying to most. But I guess
yeah,
there's
that,
a
that's not setting
it.
A good precedent, really.
I don't think so. No, I don't think you're right. So that just seems a little weird to me. And I don't know how much of this. And I guess I'll ask Lauren, how much of this do you think, like, this, there's a tremendous amount of this material and we can sort of point to examples all day. Do you think it's a result of gender politics in Japan?
I'm not sure how much this actually reflects what's going on, like, exactly today, because, okay, I'm not an expert, but I've always heard that it takes a lot longer for something to go out of business in Japan. Mm-hmm. So they'll keep running, for example, Moe titles, even after Moe titles aren't selling as well and people are moving on to different things.
Well, the country is not known particularly for its super progressive gender politics. Certainly not.
What you just brought up, I think, is actually really fascinating because Japanese women, you know, and I'm not an expert either. I mean, if we had like Roland Keltz here, this would be great. But, you know, Japanese women are increasingly getting married later and later.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that, you know, they would settle down early, you know, be a good wife. And that was that. But now they're getting jobs. They're staying bachelorettes longer. They're making their own money. They're having their own fun. They don't feel the need to be tied down to marriages in a very, you know, patriarchal society. And I almost, I do think that that's interesting that you might have pop culture that reflects this whole, like, look, well, if all of our women in real life are going to be independent and don't want us anymore, then we're going to write all this stuff about how, like, you know, once they're done being independent, they're, you know, they're going to fall into our arms and realize, you know, they need to get married or whatever.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there have been many papers written on that.
Right.
To be sure, I've certainly seen my fair share of them that posit that all of this relationship fantasy material that's being produced, you know, the Moe stuff, is a result of, you know, the your average 20-something Japanese guy being intimidated or not wanting to talk to real women, quote-unquote, and so escaping into these fantasies where he doesn't have to be afraid of them.
Right.
That's certainly come out. And I think it's kind of undeniable that you kind of have to connect those two somewhere along the line. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't necessarily say, well, this is a direct result of it. But I believe that the there's a smoke and fire relationship between these two, at least a little bit. There would have to be, you'd think. I mean, you know, all that talk of that phenomenon and then seeing all this material come out where it's like, you know, the whole like my waifu thing and, you know, guys getting married to their hug pillows and stuff. I have to assume that. There's a correlation there between those.
I did recently read a study on how fewer and fewer Japanese youths have boyfriends and girlfriends, and they don't seem to have any interest.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah,
I wish.
Yeah, no, I I've seen that story a couple of times over the years, and it seems like there is a little bit of an issue there. So that's sort of seeping into their pop culture material, and we're sort of seeing the result of that.
Part of it is wanting that power. You know, if you don't feel like you're in power, a lot of times you enjoy characters who you want to be like. And perhaps what we're seeing in this manga is the trend of men having the power over women, whether it's Moe or whether it's rape fantasy. Right. You know, it's like they can project that, or they can project these characters upon themselves safely, and nobody needs to know that they don't, that they feel emasculated, and maybe they can kind of live out their fantasies through what they're reading.
Right, and then they go on the internet and brazenly proclaim that they are no longer interested in what they call quote-unquote 3D women.
But you have to wonder, and this is something that I think I have an issue with, you know, women looking at male characters. Are guys becoming less attracted to real women because of these fantasies that they see? And then they go out and see a real woman and say, well, she's not, you know, this type of character. I want to marry this archetype, but she doesn't exist. So why bother?
I mean, based on, I mean, people will say any crazy shit on the internet, but just the amount of that kind of language that I have definitely seen, I mean, there has to be at least a small percentage of people for whom that is a reality. I don't think that's too much of a stretch.
No. I mean, I've seen that meme on 4chan, 2 out of 10 wouldn't bang.
Yeah.
I mean, where they just exaggerate that and they mark up a picture of an airbrushed model and pretend to find flaws.
Yeah, no, right. But, that whole thing gets into the whole, if you do it ironically every day of your life, it's not ironic anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's no longer irony when you, that is all you espouse is this particular viewpoint. The odds that you actually believe that are pretty high. I think that's a valid point. So we sort of acknowledge that the material itself has plenty of sexist material in it, even though, you know, it's a wide swath and you are talking about a different set of rules and a different set of material from comics or video games or anything like that. Certainly more inclusive towards women as a whole. But I think there's a lot more to say specifically on fandom. And I really want you guys to take over on this one. I want to start with Courtney on this. What have your experiences been interacting with anime fans specifically? And have you what attitudes and mores have you noticed in that crowd of people?
Okay. For those of you listening who don't know, I host two different web shows. I host G4 Interactive for G4 Television, which mostly focuses on video games. And then I also am one of the hosts on AX Live, which is Anime Expo's show. And I had a feeling you were going to ask me this question. And I thought about it. And I've realized that I experience a lot more verbal sexual harassment from the video game community than I do from the anime community. And I can't really think of any time that anyone in the anime community has disrespected me just for being female. Whereas from the video game community, I get it all the time. Wow. I have random strangers come on my show and be like, oh my God, you're hot. I want to have sex with you. Well, in slightly more perverse language. Can I have your number? Just completely disrespecting me and judging me based on my appearance rather than what I have to say. Whereas with the anime industry, every fan of mine I've met has been super nice and really respectful, and I think it just has a different attitude. And part of it, I believe, has to do with what we were talking about earlier with the proportion of men to women involved in anime versus men to women involved in video games.
I mean, I gotta say, I'm not shocked by that. I mean, video game hardcore gamers, man.
Yeah.
You know better than I do, but yeah.
Yeah, and when guys meet a female gamer, they automatically assume that this woman isn't going to be as good at that game as they are, even though there's no logical reason why a woman can't be just as good at one video game as they are with the guy. But they're just not used to interacting with females. And maybe they're so desperate for a woman who understands them, that's why they instantly hit on any female who plays a video game. But I also see a double standard between the two industries with women and your appearance. I've noticed that women involved who are on camera in the video game industry have to be, and this is the exact term, fuckable. Hmm. You have to be single. You have to always have your hair and makeup done. You have to be skinny. You have to wear certain clothes. Whereas with the anime industry, I don't think people really care how we look. I think they care much more about our opinion and the fact that we really like what they like. Like, that's sexy. And to me, as a female involved with both industries, I think it's sexy when a woman is smart and knows what she's talking about and has no qualms shooting someone down for judging her based on her appearance. I would so much rather have someone tell me that my opinion is wrong and I am dumb and I don't know what I'm talking about rather than say, oh, wow, you're hot. You know, it's far more insulting to me to have someone judge me just based on my appearance rather than what I have to say.
And so basically you're saying that you've, in your experience, at least in person, anime fandom is much more tolerant. It's a kinder place to be.
Yes, I just don't think sexism comes up. Well, not so much sexism. I don't think judgments come up based on gender in the anime, at least as, you know, a fellow fan and as a representative of fandom. I don't see that nearly as much with anime. In fact, I've never really experienced it at all.
Okay.
I had one incident, but I don't think it was so much based on the fact that I was a woman as it was on the fact that I was a rational, decent, normal human being.
Okay.
As opposed to being like a super nerdy otaku. But I'll tell you about that one later.
Yeah. Well, and that's in person, though.
That one was online.
Okay. That's...
In person, no. Everyone's been super nice.
Okay. And Bamboo, you know, I'm curious about your experience because you've been writing about anime for over a decade now. And, you know, although, you know, admittedly, a lot of people don't find out that you're female until a little later on. Well, you're, you know, most people look at your name and assume it's a pseudonym because they don't understand that what Chinese names look like.
Yeah.
But have you, I mean, what have you noticed as a writer? What kind of feedback, and do people's opinions change when they find out that you're, do they react to you differently?
Honestly, not really. You know, I mean, for the most part, like, the anime fan community has been very nice, very welcoming, you know, for the, I guess, 12 years that I've been writing about anime. I mean, yeah, every now and then you get a creeper, but that's, I don't think that's fandom specific. You know, that's just like, you know, in life, you run into creepers. Like, I've run into just as many in bars, you know? But, you know, at the same time too, like I've been to, you know, I've been to like video game conventions too, where people were also really nice. So, I mean, you know, I think it's just luck of the draw, you know, who you run into. Like, you could run into a total skeezer at a baseball game just as easily as at E3, you know?
Well, someone being gross, someone like trying to pick you up or whatever is one thing, but just in terms of someone, you know, condescending to you or disrespecting you or marginalizing you because you're a woman, and, you know, weaving that into whatever it is their disagreement with you is.
I haven't gotten that.
Really?
I don't think. No, not in... I mean, I really can't think of any time in which that would have happened. I mean, people get really personally offended at what I say, you know, if I talk bad on their favorite show. But it's never like, well, you wouldn't understand because you're a woman. You know? I mean, even if I say I don't like something, you know, that happens to have fan service, people don't even use my gender as an excuse there. Like, they're just like, well, you just hate fan service. You know, like, you're biased. But, like, it's never like, you're biased because you're a woman.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's because there are so many female anime fans in anime fandom that I guess people don't really make the connection of, like, well, you must think that way because you're a woman. You know, and I don't know if that's the same in Japan, where you have a lot more male anime fans than female.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. It's possible that we're sort of breathing rarefied air in the anime community, where it's nowhere near as bad as it is in, say, like comic books or video games, as a result of it just having such a much larger female population. Lauren, what's your take?
Well, going back to what Courtney said, I mean, there's definitely a big difference between the video game community and the fandom community. The anime fandom community, excuse me. When I go to an anime convention, for example, I don't feel the need to, like, put on my emotional armor. Like, somebody's going to confront me. Like, if I went to... I was at MAGFest recently, and I was talking with some of the people playing Magic the Gathering, and one guy just starts quizzing me on the card game about, do I know how to play this part? Do I know what this card means? Nobody's ever, like, gone up to me at an anime convention and said, have you heard of this anime? Well, oh yeah, tell me all the characters in it. Nobody is asking me to legitimize myself as a fan because I don't look like a fan to them. And that might happen in other communities. I guess it's really comes down to numbers, like Bamboo said. I mean, 50% of the people in attendance are female. I mean, that's a really big group right there. It's not vulnerable. Meanwhile, in the video game community, I mean, there's just as many women as men now, but it seems like women are still put on a pedestal. Like, it's, you know how Courtney was saying how a woman who's in a public position in the gaming community has to be fuckable. Mm. So people, I mean, even other women will start to think, oh, they only pick that girl because she's sexy, and it leads to reverse sexism.
Right. Oh, we get that all the time.
To be fair, see, yes. Okay, you know what though? I will say though that there are women in public positions in the video game industry who do not actually possess video game knowledge.
That's yeah, true. And that
okay.
That
I mean, like
everyone.
So I'm just saying, like, some of these comments are not entirely unfounded, but because okay, here's the thing. If you're not an anime fan, chances are you're not going to be working in the anime industry. It's such a niche market that, like, you do it because you like it. In video games, it's a lot more marketable. So you do actually have people who do hire, you know, good-looking men and women to be their, like, show hosts or whatever, because it is a more of a mass market audience.
Well, that begs a good question, especially this, and that's a great question for Courtney. Do you see a lot of women who are getting into that because it's a place for them where they don't necessarily know anything about video games or anything like that? But the fact that they, A, want to be on TV and, B, have, you know, whatever, the desirable physical factors that a casting director is looking for, does that irritate you when you see that? How often do you see that?
It does. I have seen it. From certain women who shall remain nameless.
Right, yeah, we're not
because
asking for names.
My job. So when I do see women who do know what they're talking about, for example, perfect example, Morgan Webb, host of X Play on G4, she knows her stuff. And people doubt that she's a gamer. And they think, oh, what does she know about video games? But she knows her stuff. And I've told her this, that I really admire her as a female and as a geek and as a gamer for being the real deal, for being intelligent, for not slutting it up. She is sexy because she is smart and she knows what she's doing. And so when I do see women like her, it's just such a breath of fresh air. And I get really annoyed by fans who think that other females on television in general, are geeks when they're not, because they don't understand that these hosts have writers and producers and teleprompters, and they can't tell the difference between real and fake. And it frustrates me to see fans led on by fake when they can't appreciate the real deal when they see it.
Right, and this, but this kind of, I guess, contradicts what I guess maybe Lauren said earlier about how, you know, women will see like a hot presenter or whatever and just assume she doesn't have the knowledge, because unfortunately it is the case that some of them don't. You know, there used to be a very now famous G4 person who doesn't know jack shit about video games, but used it as a stepping stone, and now she's got her tits splashed all over the place. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think we're talking to the same person.
Oh, we so are. I hate her so much.
She shall remain nameless, please.
Well, everyone knows who it is.
Anyway.
So unfortunately, like, that happens so often. Like, so I was at, a few months ago, I was at this comic book kind of exchange party in L.A. They have it every month, and basically you show up at this comic book party and you bring all the comic books that you no longer want to read anymore, and you just throw it in the middle, and, you know, everyone, and you exchange comic books, right? And it's just, you know, it's a really fun event. There's beer, there's whatever, and nerds hang out and talk about comic books. But then there was this camera guy with this, like, hot chick who didn't know anything about comic books, and they were there, you know, to talk about the event and try to give it some airtime. And she flat out told me, she was like, well, I can't get a job anywhere else, so, like, the easiest job to get is the nerd market because they need hot women.
How much,
you know,
of that? How much do you think? Well, that is it's depressing.
It's depressing because there are women like us who may not necessarily be TV pretty. I don't actually know what you girls look like that much.
I'm like 700 pounds. You don't want to see me. Oh, shit.
But the fact that we can't get these jobs, even though we do know what we're talking about, because we aren't quote unquote TV pretty. You know, that's what's frustrating to me.
Yeah, I think that's also TV in general is like that.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know that it's just the nerd news subgenre. TV just in general seems to be incredibly discriminatory on that basis. But you know, I think sort of the lesson that since we've just spent the last 20 minutes talking about how much sexism there is in the video game world, anime pretty much is pretty light. In comparison,
people are really nice. I mean, not like they're not always nice, but like they're at least they'll get mad at you for other reasons. You know, they'll get mad at you for some stupid bullshit sentence you wrote with hyperbole in it, you know,
or because they don't agree with your opinion.
Right.
Not that you're a woman, but because they just don't agree with you. And I want to point out, have you guys noticed that people are a lot meaner on the internet than they are in person?
Yes, I have noticed that.
Big difference.
That's in every fandom, though. Like, you should see sports forums. Oh, my God. Sports fans are brutal online.
Well,
but the thing is about on the internet, if you use a pseudonym, you're fine. I was on Reddit. I'm on Reddit for work because I cover online communities. So I've used my own name, Lauren. Well, Lauren in Space is my Twitter name, too. And I would just go around and ask people stuff. And usually people wouldn't respond. But some people would just tell me to fuck off, bitch. And I told my coworkers about this, my coworkers who are male. And they said, that's weird. We get responses all the time. Nobody says anything like that to us. So why don't you change your name to a male name? So I did. And I kept that male name because people are really nice to me. Nobody gives me anything. I get sources for my stories, and I'm just a lot better at my job now. It was the first time in my life that being a woman actually made it harder for me to do my job.
Well, I think it's really important to separate, like, you know, Courtney was talking about meeting people in real life. It's really important to say, okay, well, that's in real life. What about on the internet? Because obviously it's a very different space. But at the same time, I can say, like, I have not, as much sexism as I've seen from anime fans online, where they're just, their ids are, you know, just typing away, it's still not as much as I see in a lot of other places. It's not to say it's all, you know, sunshine and kittens in anime fandom. It's just a little bit not as bad. It's not as bad, I think.
I would say it's a lot of bit not as bad. So yay, anime fans. Good job.
Yay. But see, Zach, you and I are also spoiled because I think our forum users are like pretty great.
Well, they skew
compared to some of the other forums out there.
Anime News Network forums do skew older. That is true. And not always, but sometimes with age comes a little bit more maturity and you don't just get someone's id vomiting all over your forums. In general, yeah, it's a little bit better. That is not to say that there is not a rash of really intense sexism in anime fandom. And I think most of it you can crystallize down to that whole I prefer 2D women to 3D women thing, which to me that's got to be all about fear.
That could be it. Oh my God, here's a real woman in front of me talking to me and she's hot. Oh, what do I do?
Eventually you'd start to get bitter, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or you could suck it up and talk to her and realize that maybe she's a nice person who will actually be your friend.
Of course.
Try it, guys. Try it. We're nice. We're not as horrible as you think we are.
Yeah, right. Of course. But it's just, I guess that's where that's coming from. It's sort of a bitterness towards a class of person that you feel is just going to reject you no matter what. So that's why I say it seems like it's fear-based.
We're not all like that, guys. Don't worry.
Well, that was unexpectedly positive. So, one thing I did want to get into, and I think this is important, and it absolutely happens in anime fandom, too, is the fandom's tendency to objectify women. Some people describe it as sort of a positive objectification, where they are treated as special in anime fandom, and cosplay is one of those places where that pops up. I am sort of curious, looking at that phenomenon, looking at cosplay, and the only cosplayers who get attention generally are female cosplayers. You don't see a lot of male cosplayers getting a whole lot of attention. What do you feel about? Do you have any thoughts on that whole scene?
I think male cosplayers do get attention, but it's only if they have a really, really awesome costume.
Right.
Whereas with women, it's either a really awesome costume or it's kind of skimpy. And you do run the risk of having people ogle you and judging you based on your appearance. But at the same time, when you are in a costume, you are planning to get attention. Nobody puts on a costume to hide, to blend into a crowd.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think that whether you're male or female, it's you really have to use your best judgment and say, okay, what am I putting out there? What am I presenting to the public? If I'm going to put on something skimpy, am I okay with being ogled at? Well, you better be, because that's the kind of attention that you're going to get. If you're going to go out in like a Yoko cosplay and wear practically nothing, you can't just assume that everyone's going to be respectful and not stare at your boobs the whole time. You know, I think that as cosplayers, we all have to use our judgment, but also as fans, we should respect each other for whatever we're wearing. You know, admire the costume, try not to be creepy.
Right.
Try.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all well and good. I'm sort of curious in how you think that plays into the whole gender politics of anime fandom when you have, a mountain of female cosplayers at any given anime con, and you know, half the con is standing around taking their photos. Do you think that changes the dynamic at all? Do you think that is empowering? Anybody have a take on
it? I have very strong opinions about this.
Okay. Great.
So you know. All right, here's the thing. So I used to cosplay too. I mean, I think cosplaying is awesome. I have all the respect in the world for cosplayers because you know what? It's really hard. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. And it takes a lot of balls to be like a new cosplayer because people will rip you apart if you have like a not perfect costume. That having been said, there is also an unfortunate trend of, I guess... attention whores who basically like, okay, there's a lot of women who, even if you're a little bit pretty, like, you know, just slightly above the norm for female anime fans and you're like thin and you're attractive and you're pretty, then they will fucking flaunt it for all it's worth because that's all the attention. I mean, that's the most attention they're going to get all year. You know, and they give the rest of the cosplayers a bad name, and they especially give the serious female cosplayers who do it for the art, who do it for the love of the hobby, they give them a really bad name. Because there are, you know, phenomenally gorgeous female cosplayers who love cosplaying, and then there's the total hoebags who do it for attention, and they're usually the ones, you know, standing in the middle of the floor, and they're dressed up as like fucking, you know, Dead or Alive beach volleyball, and they have a circle of photographers around them. That really pisses me off, and it's especially bad at Comic-Con. Like, because if you go to Comic-Con, there's just millions of women dressed in like absurd like Batgirl costumes where it's basically just like stiletto high heels and just like a bra and a cape, you know, and like, you know, they're not 100% just like, oh man, I really love Batgirl, that's why I'm dressed as Batgirl. No, it's like, look at me. So yeah, there's you know, I don't want to sound like I'm like hating on my own gender, but there are women who give the rest of us a bad name, and they exist, and they exist in anime fandom and in comic book fandom because it is the easiest place to get attention.
Yeah, it's okay. I think cosplay is this is a really fun, fantastic, admirable, creative pursuit. But anyone who says that cosplay empowers women and that when women are in cosplay, they are more empowered than other women at the convention. That's not the case. It's not its purpose. I mean, what cosplay does, like in all these cases, it proves that if women really want attention from the convention, if they really want legitimacy from their geek peers, they should use their bodies. They should be something visually pleasing to look at. And that's what will permit them to be a part of geek culture the fastest. And that's really sad. I mean, I'm not saying people shouldn't cosplay. It's an awesome thing. But I mean, because women get more attention when they cosplay doesn't mean that means, oh, women are just as accepted.
It kind of, it kind of feeds into the cycle in terms of.
It does.
Of, yeah,
it does.
Okay.
I mean, because it is so frustrating that, like, if you want to be taken seriously, then, you know, you have to act in such a way that you demand that sort of respect. And I know it's a really sad, unfortunate double standard that, you know, women can't just wander around in their bikini and still get respect. But unfortunately, that's the way our society is, and that's not going to change. So you can't expect other people to also respect you for, you know what I'm saying? Like you see all these girls at Comic-Con who are dressed in virtually nothing. And then later they're like, well, I don't understand why they don't think I like comic books. It's like, well, yeah, like you're kind of like you're making it bad for the rest of us. Like you are perpetuating this awful cycle. And it's because you won't wear some fucking clothes.
I think we're kind of othering women who like to cosplay and who like to show off their bodies. I think we're kind of like isolating them into this other group. I really think, I think they have a really real purpose for doing it, because when they wear almost nothing, they get attention from geeks and they get their picture taken. And male geeks, the ones who are really the tastemakers still, are the ones who give them attention, say, you're awesome now. I mean, so yeah, then they realize, hey, why is everyone just staring at my boobs all day? But I mean, it's not that they're just sluts. Okay, maybe in some cases, but I mean, everyone who wears something skimpy has a reason. And I think this would be a big one, wanting to be allowed in.
And it's so unfortunate because there's so many like great cosplayers who are very well respected in the community who don't do that. One of the brand managers at Funimation, Charlene Ingram, she is a well respected and very well known cosplayer. She does phenomenal work. You know, her costumes are amazing, her photos are amazing, but she's good at what she does, but she does it cuz she loves it, you know? And she wears clothes. Jesse Pridemore, you know, who also does a lot of work with Funimation, also, you know. I mean, I've seen her cosplaying outfits that just involve her wearing like a very heavy fur coat, you know, but it's still cute and it's still sexy because you can tell that she loves doing it and not just because she's wandering around with like, you know, two pieces of Band-Aids like stuck to her nips.
I will say that my reaction to someone not wearing any clothes or wearing very little clothes at Comic-Con is the same regardless of gender, because when you're crammed into that exhibit hall and you slap up against someone who's not wearing a shirt and is sweaty, my visceral reaction is like, now I'm going to get pink eye. Thanks a lot.
There was this one time at Otakon, and it was the nastiest thing. There was this dude. I mean, he was a big dude, and he was cosplaying as like Sanosuke or whatever. I don't remember. But I was watching this man go up the escalator, and then just one large bitch tit was just resting on the rail, and just all the way up the escalator, you just saw the tit just resting on the rail, and for the rest of the week, and I avoided that escalator.
Well then.
That was the visual for this podcast.
Yeah. Thanks. That's what I'll name it after. That's interesting. So it's sort of a double-edged sword. It's at one point you don't want to castigate these women who, you know, show what they got basically and put together like a costume that's more than likely based on something that's actually in a comic book. You don't want to castigate them, but you also feel like they are sort of feeding into this whole, she's just doing it for the attention. She doesn't actually care about comics. She just knows everyone's going to look at her and give her attention if she shows up in this Wonder Woman outfit.
And give her legitimacy, make her feel like part of the community.
Make her feel like part of the community. Do you still feel that even now, geek?
But they're not. Those women aren't part of the community because they're not made to feel that way. Like the boys will ogle her and take her picture, but they don't invite her to be part of the boys' club. Like that's the huge difference there.
And she'll realize that.
What exactly is the boys' club, I guess?
Where you get to just talk about comic books, where you get to be like, you know, shooting the shit about like Hank Pym, you know, like these women are not invited back to just be like, hey man, are you guys really excited for Avengers? Whatever, like that conversation doesn't happen. Like they're accepted into the community in such a way that, hey, yeah, like, you're awesome. I would totally fuck you while I'm reading comic books, but they would never actually have a conversation about comic books.
And she might be a model, and they say, oh, hey, check out this picture of me, and now check out this picture of me. That might be a little more in the comic book world than the anime world. It still happens in the anime world, but I think it happens a lot less.
Yeah, most of these extreme examples that we're coming up with really don't happen in anime that often.
Not as much. It's entirely possible, but not necessarily as much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it that way. But, you know, at the same time, it's an interesting thing to think about where she may not be invited into the boys' club, but the boys' club views whoever it is that winds up with her as something as having escaped the boys' club and no longer needs to spend all of his time inside the boys' club. So there's that. You know, that's that is part of it. It's still objectification, but that is sort of a weird dynamic.
Yeah. Something else I've noticed that's not in the anime industry that I see in a lot of other industries are booth babes.
Yeah.
You guys know what those are?
Of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen a booth babe at an anime con. Well,
ADV.
ADV used to do it. Yeah. ADV used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not so much anymore. Usually if they're a booth babe, they're merchants who are actually selling something.
Yeah.
But not just hired models who stand there to look pretty.
Hi, Chew has them. Anyway. Yeah, no, you really don't see them in that. I think that is largely because they're expensive. And it's also not part of like Funimation's marketing strategy, so we don't see them there. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they're all over, you know, especially like E3 and like Comic-Con. They're everywhere.
And car shows.
Car shows. Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? I have to give Funimation props because they actually will all the time have cosplayers at their booths. Like, they'll set up elaborate scenes, you know, where it'll be like a classroom and there'll be like all these characters from a series or whatever. So they have cosplayers there, you know, so... But that's like, that's directed marketing. Like, oh, these are characters from this show that we're promoting. So I will give them props for doing that, you know, and not just having like, oh, here's some cheerleaders.
Yeah, you know, they've actually done kind of the opposite where they had, you know, when they were promoting Ouran High School Host Club, they would have a bunch of dudes in the costumes hanging out at the booth and they would invite girls in to sit with them as sort of the opposite of kind of a...
there's some reverse sexism right there.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, and... I part of me does, you know, as progressive as I try to be on these issues, part of me does feel like if you're just pandering to both audiences, at least you're being honest about it. You're like, you're just trying to make a buck. It's like, all right, you know, if you're pandering to both, then at least you're just an opportunist and a capitalist and not this horrible sexist monster or whatever.
I don't think their aura on display was sexist either, because half the cosplayers were women.
No, so. Okay, you're right about that.
True.
That's true. Okay, well, so I think we sort of determined at this point that there is sexism in anime fandom, but it's not as bad as it could be. I think that's
yay.
Where we've come down on this.
Yeah, once again, yay anime fans.
Right, okay.
Well, hug, but not with the real women. They're icky.
Okay, let's go ahead and get to Twitter. We got a lot of Twitter questions here. I'll try to keep it moving along here. All right, first up from JN Sparrow, can you guys explain why being pigeon-toed is considered appropriately feminine as opposed to standing normally? I've noticed this too. A lot of moe girls stand with their toes inward.
Oh, well, it's Japan. It's the
geisha thing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's,
you know, I've also like, seen American fashion bloggers doing that too.
It kind of denotes sort of a childlike kind of quality, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a little kid stand, you know, when they're feeling shy or ashamed, they do the pigeon toe thing, and it's sort of a sign of meekness. And I think that kind of weak, submissive quality is something that maybe that guys find appealing.
Pretty obvious physical signifier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe everyone just has rickets. You don't know.
Hisui RT asks, does everyone have a favorite story? They were told they were doing it wrong by a member of the fandom of the opposite gender.
What does that mean?
I think it generally, like, have you ever been talked down to by someone? You know, Bamboo, I asked you about this earlier and you said pretty much no. Talked down to by someone condescending to you because of your gender?
No. And, you know, more often than not, people talk down to me because, you know, people think that all the writers at A&N somehow have this, like, secret club where we all hate the same thing.
Yeah. that doesn't exist, but you'll never convince some people. Lauren, have you ever experienced that?
I was mentioning that in the Magic the Gathering community,
right.
I've noticed that, where they'll quiz me on different cards and stuff. Mm. And, like, it's like, here, do some tricks. Prove that you belong here. Prove that you shouldn't leave.
Dance, monkey. Yeah, that kind of thing. Courtney,
Only once, at least anime-wise, and that was when the oh-so-charming Mr. Daryl Surratt attacked me on my own blog, telling me that I was not otaku enough to call myself otaku.
Oh, I've been told that, too!
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to the blog post later. But basically, his argument was that because I'm not walking around dysfunctional with, you know, a pillow all the time of my favorite anime character, and that I'm a functional human being who tries to teach other anime fans how to be functional human beings, that therefore I'm not otaku. And it was just stupid. And I wrote this very long response that said, you don't get to decide, you know, who's otaku and who's not. Thank you. but I'll send you that link to the longer version another time.
Was he joking, though? Because that kind of sounds like a joke.
No, I'm pretty sure he was not joking.
Oh, I've completely, that just completely brought up so much for me. Thanks, Courtney. I mean, yeah, people try to tell us what we can and can't call ourselves. I'm not an otaku because X, Y, or Z. A lot of people have also told me, I remember a very helpful young man wrote me an email because he said, I really like your blog, but I noticed you're not doing an anime blog correctly. And I said, oh, why is that? And he said, well, you used a picture of yourself. You should use a cute anime girl instead because that's what people want to look at.
I hate people telling me how to do my job.
It was really amazing. And then he asked if I would design a website for him. So, I mean, it was very strange, but... it was interesting that he felt the need to, I mean, he felt welcome and above me enough to tell me how to write a proper anime blog.
Well, one thing I wonder about anime fandom, and I notice this more with guys, is I think they want to be elite with their fandom. You know, I'm more otaku than you, or I'm an better anime fan because I have this anime, and they ramble off like 50 different titles to prove how big their e-penis is. Like, do you guys ever notice that? Like, this kind of elitism?
Yes, no.
It's like that unprompted do some tricks thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pissing contest, but that it's the same in every fandom. You know, I mean, honestly, like, you know, I keep going back to sports a lot because, you know, I'm a huge sports fan. And you know, sometimes I will get shit from, like, male sports fans. But that's, you know, that's that's a pissing contest, and I guess I'm not, I guess, that bothered by people saying, like, oh, you can't call yourself this, because, like, I guess I've never myself asserted that I was an otaku, so well, I guess I've just never, I guess, had that argument with anyone, so.
Well, I think what you're trying to say is, you don't think these gates would be there in front of you if you were male. They wouldn't be asking you to prove it. They wouldn't be asking you to prove to them something if they would just assume you already knew what you were doing if you were a male.
Completely. Okay. I mean, it's this belief in fandom that women need to do tricks. They need to vordire. I can't pronounce that. I mean, they need to have some kind of proof that they belong there, even today.
No, I mean, I've seen that. I mean, they kind of did that a little bit to Erin Finnegan when she started writing Shelf Life, but I'm not sure that was a gender thing. So much as it was, she was new and they were hazing her, but. Yeah, no, I've definitely seen that. I don't think that's, and you know, yeah, it's true across all fandoms, but it happens in anime fandom all the time, where it's like, why don't you tell me what you know, and then I'll deign to give you my respect. But what you were talking about before with the guy saying, like, hey, you know, you're not doing this anime blog right, I think that falls into the category that, you know, that the thing that gets thrown around called mansplaining, where the man in this situation automatically talks in a condescending tone to the woman that he's explaining something to, even though she may not need it explained to her or didn't ask for his advice on how to do her job or anything like that. I think that's what that is. And yeah, you see that all the time. Everywhere.
Yeah. I'd say that was just because I wouldn't say that had anything to do with me being a woman, except that of what he said about my photo.
Yeah.
Take down your photo. Nobody wants to see that. We want to see pictures of anime girls.
We want to pretend this is being written by whoever. Kaneko-chan. Yeah. All right. Our friend and yours, Sarah Pocock, asks, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the knee-jerk responses from some guys and some girls, anime fans, when the subject of sexism is raised. And she has a good point here in that anytime you mention that a show is sexist, especially if we do it like in the preview guides or in a review, The race to see who can be the first to prove that it's not sexist at all is on. And that happens in the forums. All if you would say, like, wow, this is really sexist. This whole show is about a guy who drags a girl around on a collar and she begs him to be his slave or whatever. And you go, this is really sexist. And they go, well, no, because it's like
they're just teenagers having fun.
Yeah, right.
It's just a cartoon. Good.
Yeah.
Stop getting all serious. You don't like fun, do you?
Yes, that exactly. And that is really common. And I think that's a knee-jerk reaction to, hey, don't call me sexist. You're calling me sexist because I like this. I think that's pretty much what that is.
Yeah.
People associate when you say, like, this show is racist, or this show is sexist, or this show is for pedophiles. They get really, really.
They really get on that one.
They will
No, I mean, she looks 11, but she's really 4,000 because she's a demon.
Yeah, whatever. You know what? That is an understandable reaction. They don't want to be told that. They don't want to be told that this show that they like has these prurient sort of nasty little messages in it. I think it's silly and kind of childish, but you know, that's what they react to. And you know, it's understandable, if not admirable at all. But yeah, no, that is absolutely totally common. They do not want to be told that. And I think when you look at the reasons for it, it's less actual sexism and more they really just don't want to talk about it. They don't want their escapism to be tainted with this brush, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, because a lot of people don't immediately notice the sexism, and once it's there you can't stop looking at it. It's like, oh, there goes my fun. I think that's how some people see it.
It's like noticing the FedEx arrow. You can't you'll never not notice.
Shut up.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it too. Once you notice it, you can't not notice it, and they don't want to notice it. So yeah. All right, Zero Intelligence asks, how some shonen manga writers are unable to write a strong or believable female character?
They're so busy writing manga that they don't have time to interact with other people. Maybe that's why some of their male characters are also not believable.
These are superhero comics. I mean, do you really look for strong, super strong characters in those things? I don't know.
I think some shonen manga have strong female characters. I mean,
some of them do, yeah.
Naruto has a bunch. Hunter x Hunter has a bunch. I mean, well, one, I guess, a couple. But I mean, it's... You know, it's considering they're mostly shows about, like, you know, 12-year-old boys, like, powering up and getting all gung-ho in tournaments. I mean, you know, it's...
I think the reason is because, I'm thinking of Toriko here, which I've been watching. I mean, like, in these shonen anime that are, and manga that are aimed at younger people, they're sexless. All the characters are sexless. I mean, they don't have relationships with one another. There's no angst there. So we see their good points. We don't see them become vulnerable.
Yeah, that's a good
point. It might appear like they're stronger than they would be in another situation.
Right.
I think it does kind of go back a little bit to the fan service thing, because the example that immediately comes to mind is like Nami in One Piece, who kind of starts out as this sort of independent spunky character, and she stays that way. But increasingly over the series time, she's wearing less and less clothing, and her proportions get more and more ridiculous, like as the comic goes on. And now it's like fan service. It's like a fan service character, you know, and that manga has gotten increasingly like more and more fan service in it as the years have rolled on. I don't know that delegitimizes the character as being strong or well written, but, you know, it's there. You have to sort of look twice at it, I guess.
Part of me wonders if that has to do with the publishers trying to sell books, and are they realizing that lower common denominator sells better? And so they want more fan service, or maybe they aren't looking for quality as they are over quantity. It kind of makes me wonder if that has to do with it.
Well, I don't think anyone tells Eiichiro Oda what to do. I'm pretty sure not even his publisher tells him what to do. But I will say, I think that there is something to it where Eiichiro Oda is aging the comic with his audience. When you're 12 when you start reading it, or 10 when you start reading it, it's now 10, 12, 13 years later. And you're in your early 20s, and, you know, now the art is more geared to, you want to see a little sex in there, you know. So I guess I would probably argue that that's probably the biggest factor in it. I know the average reader of One Piece is, like, in their mid-20s. Like, that's the demographic for that now. Okay. ABCB Tom, who sent in a lot of questions, asks, which is more sexist? The super competent heroine that dresses like a stripper, or the 13-year-old Faye Moe creature?
I think I'm going to go with the Faye Moe character. I find it more degrading to have a character that's submissive and needs to rely on a male to get something done versus a female heroine who's independent and knows how she likes to dress. Because you know what? If she's an independent, strong-willed female, she will dress however she damn well pleases.
Right. You know, I agree with Courtney. I mean, at least she's a woman. I mean, at least this anime or manga is non-sexist enough that it can have female characters without the viewers being threatened. They don't have to replace all the women with children so that men don't feel upset.
No, that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. That stuff is fundamentally more sexist than the girl with a bazooka in a bikini kind of a thing. It is just naturally more sexist.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's hot out. Maybe she's at the beach when she needs to use her bazooka. It happens.
They live at the beach.
Yeah.
Well, and then, okay, so this is a good follow-up to that. Sarah Pocock also asked, do you think that she's a strong, independent female comfortable with her sexuality as a viable excuse to dress heroines in the skimpiest outfits imaginable, particularly in action series? I think it's a pretty thin excuse.
Yeah. It's a very thin excuse.
Cool. It's amazing how comfortable with their sexuality every single female character seems to be.
At some point, it's just not logical. I mean, an armor standpoint, we're, you know, just talking basic, like military logistics. It's not logical. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same. And I hate to keep doing this, like, well, it's the same and everything else. But, you know, you look at, like, fantasy books and video games or whatever, and the dude is this hulking monster wearing this giant chunky armor, and the girl is wearing a chainmail bikini. And furry boots.
Or not even chainmail, it's just a bikini.
Right, yeah, and furry boots.
That's
and
not
holding
protect
a
protect against the spear.
Yeah, no, it's not. Like, you're dead. But, you know, that's the audience they're selling to, so the girl's got to be wearing very little clothing. I mean, that is a really thin excuse, and it's a pretense that's transparent. And I think most rational people look at that and go, all right, yeah, oh boy, she sure is empowered. That's why she's wearing a halter top and cutoffs in the middle of this, you know, battlefield. ABCB Tom again also asks, panting and stocking with garter belt seems to be surprisingly popular with female fans. Any observations that confirm this? I haven't noticed that myself. Have any of you?
I know that girls like it, but I haven't seen the show, so I honestly can't say why or what that appeal is.
I've seen a couple episodes, and I've seen a lot of panty and stocking cosplayers who happen to be female. I mean, when I was watching it, you know, it kind of reminded me of the Powerpuff Girls and shows from that era. Maybe other women also felt that way.
Well, yeah.
And it resonated.
There's a lot you can say about that show and its attitude towards female characters. But I didn't know it had a big female following. I had absolutely no idea of that. That's interesting. All right, Jeremy Minich, this is sort of a long one. I'll try and get it all out here. In the show Princess Jellyfish, one female character spikes a man's drink, takes him to a hotel, strips his clothes off, proceeds to take photos of him. Nothing happens sexually, but she blackmails him with the photos. When the episode aired, there really wasn't any fan outrage on an almost date rape scene, which sometimes happen when the man does the same thing to a girl. Can you think of any other moments in anime and manga where a woman does something to a man, but if the man did that, it would be shamed by the people in the anime and the fans with the woman who did it, but no one talked about it. So,
Yeah. Fucking Future Diary, okay? So I've had it, like, with this stupid show, but, like, you know, the crazy psycho girlfriend, now ex-girlfriend character, roofies her, the main character, you know, ties him to a chair, forces him to piss into like a funnel. She's wandering around like in her underwear, and like nobody's really upset by this. And like whenever I'm like, she's crazy, people are like, oh, but she's this kind of stereotype. It's cute. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. It's entirely inappropriate that he has to piss into a funnel.
Is a stereotype a yandere that people are saying this to?
Yeah, but like it's a stereotype. Like, Why is it okay? Because if you reverse the genders, like, whoa!
I think I might actually be able to explain this. And it's not just anime. It's kind of society in general. It's the whole David and Goliath, everyone is rooting for an underdog kind of situation. Now, females in general, you know, we don't have as much muscle mass as males, so we're not usually as strong. Men tend to have more testosterone, which may make them a little more violent. So when we see a woman, you know, do something violent towards a man, we think it's okay because, well, she's smaller than him. And, oh, that's unusual. Yay, her. Okay, perfect example. I hate to admit this. I watch The Maury Show. And all the time, I see women hitting men because they're angry. And people are like, yeah, yeah, you smack him. He deserves it. But if a man did that to a woman, they'd be like, oh, no, how could he do that to her? And that, I think, is also incredibly sexist towards men. Because, you know what, it's not okay to hit someone else, whether you're a woman or you're a man. It's not okay to roofie someone and tie them to a chair and make them piss into a funnel, whether you are male or female. But I think it's this whole we love an underdog kind of mentality that allows that to be considered okay when really it's not.
I would offer a different argument on that one. I would argue that it has more to do with generations and generations of societal oppression by men towards women sort of manifesting itself that way. And when you complain about it too much, when you say like, oh, well, she hit him, but if he hit her, that's, to me, is getting into the thing where you're the guy who goes, why isn't there a White History Month? Like, there's a fucking reason there's not a White History Month. We don't need it. Like, that's the kind of arguing that people tend to get into with this. And so there's shades of gray. And I think you're right that, yeah, it's not okay for anyone to hit anyone. But the reason that people sort of let it slide when it's a woman doing it to a man is because in our ingrained into our brains societally, she's the oppressed. He's the oppressor. And there's generations of historical evidence to back that up. And so, therefore, it is acceptable on a basic moral level, I think, when you don't really think about it too much, for her to hit him, but not okay for him to hit her. And I'm not saying that's bad or that's a terrible standard or anything, but that is kind of where that's coming from. And people who complain about it too much, who are like, ah, why is it okay for girls to hit guys and not for guys to hit girls, seem like they're just arguing like it should be okay for guys to hit women. And that's... it's not cool. Those arguments are real, real touchy. You have to be careful where you go with those things. It's a very sensitive subject. Okay, Wraithnor asks, why doesn't sexism in anime ever seem to get old? As an anime fan, I find the endless parade of fan service anime tedious.
It gets old for some of us.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it's pretty old.
I certainly am tired of it.
Well, the question is, does that have to do with our age?
It might be.
And how long we've been into anime?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that might be more of an age issue rather than a gender issue. It's like what you were mentioning before, Zach, with One Piece. Yeah. How, you know, the viewers started off as, you know, 10-year-olds. Now they're 23 and they have different tastes.
Right.
Yeah, I had a much higher fan service tolerance when I was a kid. I mean, when I was 11 years old and watching The Slayers, I thought it was funny when they'd pick on Lena for having small boobs and stuff. I mean, you know, you get less immature. You get sick of it.
Just in my experience, and, you know, call me crazy for drawing a line between these two things, but growing up as, you know, in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s, as my friends and, you know, and myself, especially in my late teens, started dating and having experiences with women, our interest in fan service anime markedly decreased. The need for having that in your face all the time sort of goes away when you have a girlfriend.
Yeah. This might sound a little rude, but I will do this to people. Like I told you, I sometimes have fans who come into my show who say, oh, show me your boobs. And I will smack them down and I will say, well, clearly you're either a virgin or you have no one to have sex with, because you wouldn't be asking a complete stranger on a live webcast to show you her boobs if you had that in your life. You know, so I love to shoot them down like that. And that could be part of it, like you're saying, Zach, you know, when you get into a relationship and you know what real women are like, maybe you don't feel the need, or it's not as fun anymore to have that, the fantasy of the fake women.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I used to like Shonen Ai, and then when I got my first boyfriend, I think it stopped being so interesting. It was all of a sudden like, wait a minute, this isn't how men are. It was very disappointing. They don't sparkle or anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny because, man, people dance around that. They really dance around it. They don't want to say that. The people who are super into the fan service stuff suddenly don't seem like they're all that into it anymore once they start dating. You know, that's natural. It's human. That is a human reaction. Like, you know, you don't need the synthetic when you have the real thing anymore, I guess.
Exactly.
But people some people shy away from that. It's not commonly. And I think it's because it's easy to look at that as like insulting anyone who really does, you know, like the fan service shows. It's not meant as an insult. It's just an observation. That's all. Okay. Our friend Hope Chapman asks, what line do you draw, such as with fan service or quote unquote hilariously dumb girls, for sexism to be comedy in anime? And she says she mentions this because of the guilty laughs she's noticed female anime fans that get from something like High School of the Dead or Queen's Blade. So is
sexism
sometimes
you laugh when you're uncomfortable, you know?
Right. Do you think that's just it, or do you think people are laughing at the absurdity? Especially,
I think there's a point when it's, okay, maybe a character is cute and she is kind of funny, but then there's a point when she becomes a sex object rather than a person. And I think that's where I draw the line.
Right. It's not funny anymore when it's just objectification. It's just ridiculous. Yes. Objectification.
Yes. Okay. And, you know, I get a good laugh out of a well-placed or a well-timed panty shot, especially if it's of like a strong female character, and then all of a sudden, you know, she's really angry and she's beating up on someone, and all of a sudden a truck rushes by and a gust of wind blows up her skirt, and it's just that awkward moment that's kind of funny, you know, because it deflates the situation. But I think it's another thing for me when it's just like, oh, and here's a shot of my boobs and here's a shot of my underwear again. Is it necessary? Is it funny? No, it's just there because they think that that's going to sell. And that's where I draw the line. That's where I get bothered.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's intent. Like, if it's malicious intent, then I draw that line pretty fast. But if it's like, I mean, good-natured, quote-unquote, you know?
I
have a fairly high tolerance for it. Because, like, sometimes, like, they're just trying to sell anime, you know, and it's not like you don't get the feeling that the people writing the show like actually hate women. And sometimes you watch something and you do feel like they hate women, you know? And I think that's kind of the line for me.
I think I'm past the point where fan service of any kind is funny. Like, it's just been done a bajillion times, and I've seen it been done a bajillion times, that guy falling into boobs or into someone's taint is not funny. It's not. It just isn't. And it's not like, that's not funny. It's if it's like, come on. Like, do you have any other gags for us? Something else, please. It's just not funny because it's just been used so much.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder, and I think I said this earlier when I was talking about High School of the Dead, of what is your series lacking that you need to use that same joke over and over, and that you need the fan service? You know, why can't your story and your comedy stand on their own without it?
Yeah, maybe it shows a lack of confidence.
I agree. Or a lack of quality.
High School of the Dead, the mangaka, I mean, that's based on a manga, and the mangaka has most of his interviews are just like, oh, I really like big boobs. Yep. Big boobs are for me. Like, that's.
But High School of the Dead is still really well written.
That is a stretch. Really well written.
Well, okay. You know, I have to say, I haven't read the manga. I've watched the series, and I really enjoyed it as a thriller and as a zombie apocalypse show. I didn't feel that it needed all the fan service stuff.
No, of course it didn't need it, but, you know, it's in there because it's a component of the what it's based on, and the guy who drew that, that's what he likes. So
that's a thing, I know.
All right, Bryjar asks, does the responsibility of eliminating sexism in media fall more on viewers or creators / developers, or both? Anybody?
I don't think we'll ever eliminate it.
No, I don't think we will. That's like saying stop pandering to a given gender, which will never happen as long as advertising exists.
But at the same time, we as fans and the people in the industry, it's up to us to individually say, no, I'm not okay with this, or no, I'm not going to support this. You know, I can't make a decision for any of you guys. I can't make the decision for any of the fans. I can maybe encourage people, but in the end, it's up to each individual to decide for themselves how they're going to behave.
That's a good point. I think it's important for us to be aware and speak our minds when we see something that we think is objectionable, or point out when something is sexist. Like, even though you're going to get the no, it's not because this. Like, it is important to just put those thoughts out there so other people might see them and go, yeah, you know, maybe it is sexist. Maybe he's right, or maybe she's right.
You also got to learn how to make a good argument and not just be like, well, it's sexist, but maybe explain why and be calm and rational about it so people will actually listen to you.
All right, K-Mac Wynn asks, some fans believe shows like K-On! Are empowering because women are being positive with and encouraging each other, while other fans point out it's just there to make the girls look cute. What do you guys think, Bamboo?
I've never seen K-On!
Well, you know,
oh, I
shows,
either.
Shows,
I've
shows
totally
like
seen it. And I just can't even, I mean, I just found it so boring. I mean, there's no conflict or anything. It is just girls, like, displaying their personality traits and supporting one another. Because when they support one another, we can imagine that they have sexual relationships with one another. And that's super cute. I don't think there's anything empowering about K-On!.
Well, Bamboo, you've brought this up before. Well, I mean, you said that about moe shows, too, like Air and Canon and stuff. You said you appreciated those because that you found them cute.
Those are, yeah. And I don't think shows like Air and Canon and whatnot, to me, they're not as maliciously creepy as shows like Shuffle.
yeah.
Shows like Shuffle, like, the women are really pathetic. Whereas shows like Air, like, eh, I mean, they're cute. You know, they're fun to look at. Like, you know, they're like puppies. I mean, it's whatever. It's not my thing, but like, I don't think it's offensive because I don't think there's anything malicious about it. You know, it's just cute drawings on a page. So I don't associate any sexual feelings with it whatsoever.
Okay, here's a doozy from Ludono. Why is it whenever we have a strong male protagonist with a doting female protagonist, we instantly have to point to sexism? Nature made males stronger to protect the women and children. So why get so upset when that's portrayed in anime and other media?
The problem I have is with his statement that nature made man to protect women. Like, that statement is very sexist to me.
And that part's not up for question.
Yeah, like,
what is it with you broads anyway?
How dare we want to stand up for ourselves? You know, it happens. There are females who are doting, and in a lot of societies, in Japanese society and even in American society, women are brought up to believe that if they don't get a man, if they don't get married, then they're worthless. You know, people think that you're a better person because you get married or you're single. What's wrong with you? And I think that's kind of the whole archetype that plays into. And so to some women, that's perfectly okay. They want a man to protect them. They want their prince. They want to be supported. But to a lot of us women as well, we also think, no, I am independent and I am intelligent and I can protect myself. Thank you very much. So I think some people get offended by it. Some people don't. It just kind of depends on how they brought up and what they think their role as a woman is.
Well said.
Thank you.
I think if that's what you honestly believe, that men were made stronger to protect women and children, then odds are you have some strong opinions on gender politics and equality that need to be ironed out before you can really start talking about how it's portrayed in media. That's what I would say.
Yeah, in fact, if he's so certain, why is he asking us?
Because he's, you know, big daddy provider, bringing home the animes.
Yep, some guys are brought up to believe that they're brought up to believe that they have to be strong and they have to be protective and they can't show emotion or cry because that's weak. And that's just something that, you know, family and society teaches us. And in a way, it's almost iconic for a man to be strong and strapping and the protector, and you have to protect your woman. And I think that's just something that culture teaches us. And I think it's up to us to tell people that, you know, there are alternatives to that. Great. You want to protect someone? Wonderful. Protecting someone is a really noble thing, but you shouldn't push someone else down and make a female feel lesser or codependent just because you want to be protective. You know, I would rather have someone who will battle by my side than to be a protector and say, no, 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 Courtney, you go hide somewhere. I'll take care of this. Like, that's insulting to me.
At the same time, there are so many anime male protagonists that really are like the opposite of strong and manly, because those are like a lot of the moe harem like male protagonists are these total milquetoasts, because that's the character that the male viewer is supposed to like project himself into.
They can relate
to
that.
You have like a harem of women just falling over each other to like fight over like the most the blandest, lamest guy on the block who has no discernible hobbies.
Yeah, all right. But, you know, I get what you're saying, maybe, but I think the guys in those shows are like that because they're self-insert characters. They're sort of weak and milquetoast, so the viewer can sort of escape into this fantasy where he can also fantasize about how he would react in that situation. It happens across all forms of media, where you put sort of a weakling in with 10 hot girls, and he's totally not scoring with any of them, and look at that loser, and I would totally score with all those girls if I was in that situation. Like, it's a total, it's a fantasy thing. It's escapism, like all that stuff is.
They say, oh, that guy is me. That guy is totally just like me, and right. I would have all those women, yay!
Yeah, or whatever, right, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. All right, the Amadon asks, and this was asked a couple times, how much does anime, sexism in anime, impact your enjoyment if everything else is good or interesting or at least within expectations?
It's got to be pretty sexist to make me just have to stop and say, wait, look at the sexism here, and reconsider not even watching it.
Yeah, I think I'm generally willing to give something a chance. I can understand the difference between humor and just nastiness. But like I said, yeah, I was telling you guys earlier, I had to put down Chobits after the first chapter because I couldn't handle it.
I would suggest that you read Shannon Garrity's dissection of Chobits on our site, Jason Thompson's House of 1,000 Manga. She did a guest column on that where she really took it apart. I suggest you check that out because she did a better job of it than anyone I've ever seen.
I think I will.
Oh, I want to see that too.
I would say it's got to be a defining feature of the show in order for me to shut it off because of that. Like, it has to be such a strong component of the story, and there has to be an underlying theme in there for me to really be bothered by it to the point where if everything else about the show is good, I'll keep watching. Something like Deers. I don't know if anyone has seen this. The theme song is Let Me Be Your Slave, or I'm a Slave for You, or whatever. And
yeah, that was Britney Spears.
I think it was Let Me Be Your Slave. It was the theme song to Deers, where it was about these busty aliens who crash land on Earth and have to learn about how to be slaves to human men. Or it's just fucking, I can't, like, the premise will keep me the fuck away from that show. I mean, that's true for anything I feel passionately about. Like, if, you know, if there was a show where there was a component of it that was trashing, you know, civil rights for minorities and arguing against civil rights for minorities, I wouldn't watch that. You know, I wouldn't watch something that, you know, condoned animal abuse or whatever. And anything that I found odious like that, I would stop watching it if that was a major function of the show. Our friend Charlene Ingram, we mentioned her earlier, she asks for, this is a good way to wrap up here, how do you feel the fandom experience has grown or decayed for ladies over the years? Is it better or worse now? I guess we'll go one by one, and we'll start with Bamboo.
The longer the anime is popular, you know, I think the more we sort of reach an understanding to the point where something like gender, I don't think is as much of an issue, especially in fandom. I mean, like I said before, like, anime fans are super chill. And, like, I rarely get, if ever, you know, get problems with anime fans.
I think it's a lot better now, because now more than ever, women are the participants. They're the creators. They have a much heavier hand and much more of a say in this community than we ever have. I think it makes it, and as our numbers continue to grow, it becomes a better and safer and more exciting place for women to be.
All right, Courtney.
I feel that the fandom is getting better because, as we've talked about before, there's more of a balance between men and women in the fandom, and men are used to having women around them. However, I think the content is getting worse. I think we're seeing a lot more lowest common denominator fan service coming out of anime in order to make sales rather than quality of anime.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would argue it might be more of a symptom of a struggling economy and people adverse to risk, knowing loading something up with sex means it will sell.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's a symptom of that. But no, I think you're right on that. I personally agree with both all of you. I do think that it has gotten better inside fandom, and the content itself, well, we're seeing the results of a recession, unfortunately. But anyways, well, so that was a very lively discussion, and I can't thank you all enough for coming on by and answering all those questions. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Yay, thank you.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Bamboo, Lauren, and Courtney for stopping on by. Theme song is Bucharest by the band The New Division. You can find them at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. While you're there, leave us a rating or review. We'd appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.